we'll get into. Just want to remind you that we still have a couple of options for giving. There's a black box in the back of the church here for those of you who are here. For those who are with us online, or anyone can give online as well, or you can mail your offering to the church and we'll process it that way. If you need assistance with COVID vaccine signups, Doug and Emily Varner are available for that, and their contact information is in the bulletin there as well. We are having Easter flowers available. There's going to be a variety of lilies, hyacinth, and tulips. The cost is $6 for those. And there's information about who to contact here in the bulletin as well. We are having a Good Friday service at 6:30 here on April 2nd. Update on Pastor Adam, our interim pastor. His first worship service will be on April 25th, but we will need some assistance as far as getting their place set up on this April 16th and 18th. That information is here in the bulletin as well. Next week, we're starting streaming services at live.weymouthchurch.com, switching from Facebook. So for those of you who are continuing to participate through live stream, it will be live.weymouthchurch.com. That information is also in the bulletin as well. As far as our search team update, we're still processing information that we received from the congregation through the survey for the next few weeks or so. We're thankful for all who participated and gave us information. Now we're in the process of weeding through that information to kind of format it and put it in a format that can be easily presented, other than the sample that I gave you at our congregational meeting. So thank you for that as well and your participation there. And we're also thankful to Terry Holly, is our guest speaker today. So we're excited to hear from him later as well. With that, please stand for our next song. You may be seated. During our next song, the ushers will direct each row up to collect the elements for our communion, and we'll have communion at the end of the next song here. So let's pray. Father, indeed, we're grateful to you for who you are, Lord, and for the sacrifice of your Son to prepare for us a way of being restored to you, to be redeemed, and to be a part of your family. Father, it's this time that we reflect upon that, Lord, as we remember the work and what is finished on the cross. We give thanks and praise to you in Jesus' name. Verse 26. Jesus took the bread after the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So as we reflect on that evening, Jesus with his disciples and reminding them and establishing this new covenant that the body was his body, suffered, his body died, that we remember that he has made a covenant with us to make us a part of him. So let's take and eat together. And he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." Father, we thank you that Jesus shed his blood, Lord, for forgiveness of our sin, that our sin is blotted out and taken away. We thank you for this covenant with us, Lord, this love that you have for us, that you would send your son to die for us. We thank you and we praise you in his name, amen. So let us take and drink together. So as we prepare our hearts, not only for communing with him today, let us also be prepared to hear his message. Terry is coming up now and will share God's word with us. Thank you.
Thanks, Brother Russ. Good to be here today with y'all. I was here, a month and a half ago or so, and appreciate being invited back. Today's a special day, no doubt about it. Today is Palm Sunday. It's the day that Christian churches across the world celebrate, and they celebrate it in a sort of a unique way. They're celebrating the day that Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on a colt, and the people waved palm branches. Now I see that we have some here today. It's also known as the Triumphal Entry. You probably know it by that name if you've been in church for any amount of time. Palm Sunday, the Triumphal Entry, Jesus comes into Jerusalem. Because it's Palm Sunday, many churches like yours here will make palm fronds or palm branches available to their people. And sometimes in Sunday school classes, the kids actually construct them out of brown and green construction paper. I remember seeing that over the years as I was in my church. They cut it, they glue it, and then they wave them back and forth. Now that reminds me of a story about a young girl named Annie. Annie lived with her family. She had a couple brothers and sisters, mom and dad, and they attended church quite regularly. And Palm Sunday came around. But on Palm Sunday, Annie was very, very sick. And she couldn't get to the church, so she stayed home with her mother. When the rest of her family, her siblings, her dad came home, she asked them, what are those palm fronds that they had? She had never seen those before, and so she was like, wow, what's that all about? And her brother explained, he said, people held them over Jesus' head as he rode by on a colt. And very frustrated, she said, wouldn't you know it? The day I miss church, Jesus comes and he brings a colt to ride and give children rides on. Well, that's not exactly what happens with Palm Sunday. But she had the right idea, I guess, in a way. Jesus rode on a colt. I'm going to say a word here that I may not say like you say it. A donkey. I know it's supposed to be donkey, but ever since I've been a kid, I've said donkey. In fact, one of my memories of sixth grade is one of my classmates saying to me, Terry, why don't you say donkey right? You say donkey. And so I'm going to try to say donkey, but if I slip back into my old ways, pray for me. But anyway, he rode in on a donkey. And we see this scripture in Luke 19. I've got it up on the screen for you here about the triumphal entry. Let's read it together. When he approached Bethphage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. There as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away went away and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord has need of it.' They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he was going, they were spreading their coats on the ground. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out.' When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, 'If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation.'" Jesus was talking there about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. The Jewish people at that time, the crowds, were praising Jesus. They thought he was coming as a king. They didn't understand what his kingdom would be all about. And so they didn't accept him. And that's why Jesus cried over Jerusalem, because he knew what would happen. Now, this triumphal entry is also recorded in Matthew 21. It's recorded in Mark 11, Luke 19, and John 12. If you read the account of Luke, if that's the only account you read, as we did, you might wonder where the term Palm Sunday came from. Now, the Gospel of John in chapter 12 records, "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna, blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the King of Israel.'" So we see this whole idea of Palm Sunday at least coming from the Gospel of John. We also see some additions to the story by Matthew. Where Luke and Mark and John tell of only one colt or one donkey, Matthew tells of a donkey and her coat that were brought to Jesus. So we have a little bit of a difference in the story. And some skeptics have jumped on that and said, well, you know, this obviously isn't a true story. The Bible's not true because look at, we get two different stories here. One story, you know, says that there was only one animal, one colt, one donkey. The other says that there was a donkey and her colt that were brought to Jesus. This could be, I don't want to get into any apologetics here. That's a defense of the scripture. But this can be easily explained. If you go home today and let's say someone in your house isn't here today and they say, who came to church today? And you might say, well, Bob came to church today. But also Bob's wife came to church and his kids came to church. And that person may not describe everybody who came to church. They may just say, well, you know, Bob came. And we do that every day. We talk about things. We don't include everything that's in the story. And if you talk to someone else, they might include more that was in the story. So I take this as a historical account that there were two animals that came. But we see here that in the passage that we looked at in Luke, we only are told about one animal. So to reiterate this whole idea of the triumphal entry in Palm Sunday, on the Sunday before his death, Jesus begins his trip to Jerusalem, and he knows what's going to happen. He knows that soon he will lay down his life for the sin of the world. And nearing the village called Bethphage, he sent two of his disciples ahead, telling them to look for a donkey and its unbroken colt that had never been ridden on yet. The disciples were instructed to untie the animals and bring them to him. Then Jesus sat on the young donkey again, never broken in, had not been ridden, and he slowly and he humbly made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Doing so, he fulfilled the prophecy from an Old Testament book named Zechariah. Zechariah the prophet wrote in Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The crowds welcomed him. They were waving the palm branches. Hey, some of you kids, do you have your palm branches with you? Any of you have them with you right now? You can put them up. There you go. I see one. I see two. I see a few more. Some of the adults have them too. Yeah. They were waving the palm branches. They welcomed him, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When I was asked to consider some songs for today, I chose the ones we sang because they talk about blessed be your name. And they talked about giving praise to God, just as the crowd did during the triumphal entry. On Palm Sunday, Jesus and his disciples spent the night in Bethany, a town that was about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. And this is where, if you know the story of Lazarus, this is where Lazarus was raised from the dead and where his two sisters, Mary and Martha, lived. They were close friends of Jesus. They probably hosted him and the disciples during his final days in Jerusalem. Now, this is an historical account. And I'm always try to be careful when I speak that I don't miss the main point of the story. And the main point of this is that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. He presented himself as king to the Jews. Unfortunately, they rejected him. And within the week, he was crucified by the Romans' worst form of death, which was that crucifixion. But this morning, since we've gone through the concept of what Palm Sunday is and what the triumphal entry is, I want to focus on one, I guess I would say, character in the story that you over the years may have not given much importance to, and that's the donkey. I want us to focus in on the donkey. Growing up, I only remember two sermons in my life. I went to the same church from 1954 to 1976. I don't remember much that was in the sermon. In fact, I don't remember anything that was in the sermon, but I remember the title. And the title was, "The Lord Has Need of You." And it comes from this Palm Sunday triumphal entry passage. Who did the Lord have need of? The donkey. That's who the Lord had need of. And so what can we learn from the donkey today? Well, first off, I'd say this. The donkey was selected. This is amazing. I sort of feel that from the time the donkey was born, maybe even before that, this donkey was selected to be the donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on. He hadn't been ridden by anybody else. He hadn't been used by anybody else. This donkey was born for Jesus' work. The donkey was tied up so he couldn't get away. He was tied up so no one else could take him. It was just like he was waiting for Jesus to climb on him and ride him. Now, this donkey had royal associations. Jesus riding this donkey echoes back to the Zechariah 9 passage, where it says that the king will come riding on a donkey. I'll read it again. O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. See, for most of us, we think, I don't know if anybody here has a farm or lives next to a farm or somebody has a donkey. We think of donkeys mostly as beasts of burden to carry heavy things. We think of them as maybe in the county fair. We think of them for children's rides like Annie did in the story. That's how we many times think of donkeys. But in those times, in the ancient world, donkeys were used for ceremonial practices. And whereas horses were used as symbols of war, donkeys were used as symbols of peace. So we have to just rethink that about donkeys as we look at this passage. So that donkey was selected. Now let me share this with you. What's that have to do with you? Well, if you're a follower of Christ, you were selected for a purpose. Many of us are familiar with the passage in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And I think most of us would be familiar with 10, but we focus in many times on Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And those three verses say, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. And then verse 10 says this, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. You've been created to do good works. You've been selected by God to do something. Dare I say you have been selected by God to do something that no one else in this world has been selected to do? And that's why the church is a body. The Bible talks about there's all these different parts of the body. Just like in our body, all different parts. In the church, there are different parts. And there's different gifts that God has given to the church. And so it's important for you to use your gift, to use your spiritual gift in this church. You are selected for something that no one else can do. Just like this donkey was. So if you haven't found out what that is yet, find out what your purpose in life is. Find out why God has put you here. Find out why God has given you gifts and abilities. And again, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So the donkey was selected. Secondly, the donkey submitted. Now, usually when we see a donkey like on a TV show or whatever, a movie, what are they? What are they known for? Stubbornness. They're known to be stubborn. Have you ever been stubborn about something? Your spouse could probably tell me all about it. I know mine could tell you all about it. And I could probably tell you a little bit about her, but I digress. Have you ever been stubborn? Have you, take it up another notch, have you ever been stubborn about something that you really knew God wanted you to do? You just sort of hung back, you didn't do it, you were stubborn. You know, God can even use a stubborn donkey. I want to tell you a story out of my life. It's hard for me to even tell this story without having emotions hit me and tearing up. But in 1991, I was asked by the Josh McDowell Ministry. Some of you may know who he is. He was part of an organization, Campus Crusade for Christ, which is now called CRU. And the Josh McDowell is still going strong with different ministries. And I was asked to go to Russia. It was 91, 92. And this was when things were really changing in Russia. And it was going to be their first legalized Christmas in 74 years. So in 91, 92, I went with Josh McDowell's Operation Carelift. Operation Carelift was amazing. It successfully moved 300 tons of food, medicine, and toys, including 35,000 teddy bears. Moody Radio took control of that. And they started to advertise on their stations. We have WCRF here in town. And Moody, all over the country, started to advertise about getting teddy bears. 35,000 teddy bears came in. And this 300 tons of food, medicine, and toys, and those teddy bears were given to more than 6,000 Russian children in 7 area hospitals in Moscow. The aid was shipped both by ocean and by transport, and it originated in Europe and it originated in the U.S. And it was shipping and transport was donated by such shippers as JCPenney Company, Kmart, Dole, and Walt Disney Corporation. And about 200 individuals from the U.S. and Europe went over to Russia. I was one of those 200 and some. The reason they asked me to go is because for 50 years now, I've performed what you might say are optical illusions, but are also called magic tricks. Now, I know some Christians don't really appreciate the word magic, and I understand that. But I perform illusions, I perform magic tricks. I've performed in many, many churches and have a chance to share the gospel. Nothing supernatural about it. Any 8-year-old child could do the things I do with 15 years of practice. Just like playing the piano. And so I was asked to go over and use my magic to entertain children in hospitals and orphanages, and also to share the gospel with it, because that's what I do. So there were about 3 other magicians from Great Britain who came over, and we had never met each other. We hung around with each other. So this was like a 10-day trip. Well, the first day of the ministry there, where we were in the hospitals, and that, no one asked me to perform. And I was like, wow, you know, okay. And the second day, I wasn't asked to perform. And the third day, we weren't asked to perform. And I was like, man, I raised money. I put my own money in. I raised money from supporters to go to Russia. And I told them I would be sharing the gospel in orphanages for magic tricks and hospitals using my magic tricks. And about the fourth day came, and I still hadn't done one thing like that. I had sorted out packages. I had given out packages. I had, you know, done different things, didn't do my magic. And I was mad. I was upset. I really was. I was like, this stinks. I can't believe I'm over here for this. And I was really stumped. I was mad. And then one day, I woke up, and I just said, okay, God, you got to give me a better attitude. So we took off, we went to a hospital, and I could see again I wasn't going to do any magic. But they had to pass out all these gift bags. So I needed a translator. It was impossible for me to do what I needed to do without a translator. And as they were giving me all this stuff, I said, I need a translator. Is there anybody here who can translate for me? And they grabbed a guy and they said, here, he can help. You can help, can't you? And he said, yes, I can help. His name was Igor. And so Igor and I teamed up that day. And we went out and we gave gifts, and I talked a bit about Jesus, and he translated it all. And then we ended up doing a little bit more together, and I eventually started doing my magic and did a number of presentations where I shared the gospel, and Igor was my translator. Now, who was Igor? Igor was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. See, communism had ruled there. But he could speak English, and so they brought him alongside me to translate the gospel. At least I think he translated the gospel. So here I am, I'm performing, I'm doing some magic. Igor's going on and doing his thing with me. And the very last day, before the last day, he says, Terry, I'd like you to come visit my house. I'd like you to meet my wife. And I guess I wasn't really supposed to leave premises, but I did. And I took off, and I don't even know if anybody knew where I was at. And I didn't know where I was at. We took a metro bus. We took a van, we took a cab, whatever. We finally got somewhere in the outskirts of Moscow. I went to his house. His wife came to the door. You know what the first thing she said to me was? Tell me about Jesus. So I shared a sort of a four spiritual laws kind of presentation. And after I was done, Igor said, his wife Irina said something to him, and he got back to me and he said, Irina says that this is all brand new to us. We don't really understand it. It's all brand new. Now, you know, 74 years. This is their first legalized Christmas. And what we were doing was happy birthday Jesus parties. So I said to Igor, I said, that's okay. I'm just glad to be here. That's okay. I understand. So they gave me a beautiful, I don't know what it was, four, five, six, seven course dinner, something like that. And then we went back. Igor and I went back. And on the bus back, I turned to him. He was sitting behind me. I turned to him. I said, Igor, I really believe God brought us together. And he looked me straight in the eye and he said, for you, God, for me, chance. What else could he say, right? And I said again, I understand that, but I really think God brought us together. So we kept in touch as best we could back then. There was no email. We tried to do fax. I had couriers that would take letters, this kind of thing. But it was very hard to keep in touch. Well, that was January of 92. I told Crusade, keep in touch with Igor. He's brilliant. This guy is brilliant. And he's a great guy. He's a nice guy. And I think God is going to do something with him. Now, remember, I was like a stubborn donkey before that. I was so mad. But God took me that day. He selected me that day. He put me with Igor. I got a chance to share. He heard the gospel over and over again. But he had no positive response to the gospel while I was there. In the fall of that year, Billy Graham came to Moscow. He had a crusade. And Igor and his wife both believed in Jesus as their Savior. He eventually started working with the Josh McDowell Ministry. I went back to Russia, I guess about 7 years ago or so. It was the first time I had seen him since, I think, 96. He did come to the States once. It was unbelievable. Where in 92, he stood as an atheist translating for me. 6, 7, 8 years ago, he stood as a believer, translating for me. He has been involved with seeing more people come to Christ than I ever have. And so what I want to say to you is this. God can even use donkeys. Because I was as stubborn as could be that day. And that week. Yep. So the donkey was selected, the donkey submitted, the donkey served. You know, there's, if you notice when I was reading, the word tied or tying or something like that, untie, was used 5 times in those verses. The donkey was created for a purpose and was meant for Jesus. But it was tied and it needed to be untied. It was all tied up. I'm not sure why Luke emphasizes that so many times, but there's some insight here. You know, like me, I was the donkey, but I think I was also tied up. I was tied to saying, things have to go my way. If things aren't going my way here, if I'm not presenting the gospel through my illusions, God's not working. You know, God worked by me passing out gift bags and being put in touch with Igor. That's how God worked. And so sometimes we got to get untied. We can be tied down by a lot of things. I think a lot of us have been tied down by anxiety this past year. We've been tied down by concern. Sometimes we're tied down because we need to forgive somebody and we've never forgiven them. I don't know what you could be tied down. You could be tied down to chemical dependence. You might be tied down to your smartphone. Some of us are need to be untied to show love toward people. People that we have a real struggle with. Some people need more faith. Maybe you're tied up and tied down. You're afraid to share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ with people. And if you're here as a believer, if you're online as a believer, you need to be untied from those things, from what weighs you down. We can't fully submit to God when we're tied down by other things. We have to be released. We got to surrender our burdens. We got to surrender our weights to God. Much like the owner who surrendered his donkey to the two disciples. And I think today, Palm Sunday, is a day where we can really ask ourselves, what do we need to be untied from? What can we get away from so that we can honor and praise God? You know that one song, Blessed Be Your Name? What's one of the key parts of that? You give and take away. It's hard to bless God when things are taken away. It really is. At least I talk from my experience. Got to rethink all that at times, revisit it at times. When whatever has tied us up is untied, nothing can stop the love for God and love for our neighbor, which is so important. You know, it's interesting. I think it's in our nature to praise God. Did you notice that little phrase in there where the religious leaders of the day said to Jesus, tell your disciples to be quiet. And he said, listen, if they were quiet, even the what? The rocks would cry out. Did you have a pet rock? A guy made a millionaire out of that pet rock thing. Whenever I thought of pet rocks, I thought of this verse. Even the stones would cry out. And so, Palm Sunday is the day that we, like the donkey, can be untied and set free and be set loose to do work for God. And if you're not a believer in Christ, if you've never made that step, today can be the day that you're set free from your sin. And by believing in Jesus, you can have eternal life. You know, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me, though he were, shall never die. I share that verse in funerals that I officiate. I share it as an extremely important verse because after Jesus was done saying that, he said to Mary, "Do you believe this?" And that's the question. Do you believe that Jesus is the one who can give you eternal life? Only Jesus. I want to close with a beautiful story. It tells of how after Jesus' ascension into heaven, after he left this earth and his disciples, he was surrounded by the angels. And they began to ask about his work on earth. And Jesus told them about his birth. He told them about his life. He told them about his preaching. He told them about his death. He told them about his resurrection. And how he had died to accomplish the salvation of the world. And then the angel Gabriel asked Jesus, "Well, Jesus, now that you're back in heaven, who will continue your work on earth?" And Jesus said, "Well, when I was on heaven, or while I was on earth, I gathered a group of people around me who believed in me and they loved me, and they'll continue to spread my gospel message and carry on the work of the church." And Gabriel was really perplexed by this. He says, "You mean Peter, who denied you three times? And you mean the rest of those guys who ran away when you were crucified? You mean to tell all us angels that you left your work on earth to be carried out by them?" And Gabriel thought for a moment. He said, "Well, what, Jesus, what's plan B if this plan doesn't work?" And Jesus looked Gabriel in the eye and said, "I have no other plan. I have no other plan. It must work." And you know what? That's the truth. Jesus has no other plan but to depend on you and to depend on me and to depend on everybody else who's his followers. So that's the plan, a plan that depends on each of us using our talents and our gifts and our resources for the good of the gospel. See, I'm here today. I'm standing in front of you today because of several different occurrences in my life. One of those occurrences was sometime when I was 12, 13, or 14, and a minister stood up, and he talked about this passage. And he said, "The Lord has need of you." And that changed my life. I haven't always been great working for Christ, serving Christ. But somehow that's always come back to me. The Lord has need of you. Well, let's pray together. As we pray, I encourage you to ponder these words, change them around a little bit. The Lord has need of me. Father, take these words, take the illustration of the donkey and the majesty of your triumphal entry, and help us understand that you do come as the King, and you do have something for us, and we just need to believe in Jesus as the one who gives eternal life, and then to believe that you want to use us. And so I pray that for everyone here, everyone online, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand and sing as we close the service, please.
Thank you, Terry, for that. Then let's pray. Father, you are mighty to save. And Father, we thank you for the call that you have for each of us on our lives and the purpose that you have for us, Lord, that you have need of us to serve you. Father, to be that light, to the light of this, to this world, that you are mighty to save. Father, just walk with us as we go forth, Lord, and we thank you for that and for your promise that you would never forsake us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You're dismissed.